Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ravens double up the Steelers 28-14. Same old in the playoffs. Six straight playoff defeats, tying the Dolphins for the longest playoff win drought in the NFL. Good afternoon, everybody. I know it's not good, but I feel like I'm obligated to say that. Chris Muller's across from me. Donnie Football here as well. We take this assignment very seriously. The day after or 2 days after a Steelers playoff loss, first time on the air. We know that this is a public service assignment. We do massive audiences on days like this, whether it's listening on your radio or 93.7thefan.com or on our YouTube page. So we thank you for being there. And of course, we want to hear from you today at 412-928-9370. You always, in this spot, try to come up with creative ways to talk about something you've seen several times. This is not new to us. This is something we're very familiar with, watching this team get blown out in playoff games. So, Chris, I'm going to start with what Herb Street said, because I thought he was the MVP of the broadcast for me and really of the game. He just said in that final call, Pittsburgh was lifeless. And that is a direct shot at Mike Tomlin. And it really attacks Tomlin's greatest trait or skill as a coach. He's supposed to be the master motivator. He's supposed to be the guy that rallies the troops and gets his team up for games. And even if they're an underdog or the chips are stacked against them or they go into a game and they're the inferior team, you know, with a Mike Tomlin coach team, you're going to get that team's best shot. That effort was piss poor. You had guys, like, the reality set in very quickly that they were going to lose that game, that it wasn't going to be their night. They didn't believe in themselves. They didn't believe in what the game plan was. They didn't believe in all the burn the boat maxims and leave no stone unturned tropes that got spouted off during the week there. They packed it in.
I would say that one of the angriest times we've seen Mike Tomlin and it kind of bore out this offseason when they didn't pursue Tyler Boyd was when Boyd essentially said the Steelers quit at the end of a Bengals win over them. I can't say the Steelers quit in this game because quitting would imply that they showed up on the field in the first quarter ready to go. They never got off the bus. I mean, it was an embarrassing, pathetic defeat. I think it might have been Deshaun Elliott who said it's worse to have somebody run for 300 yards on you than throw because it's a will-oriented
they
thing.
They gave up 300 yards rushing.
They got clowned. They got humiliated. They never got off the bus.
Their whole mantra.
There are cut-ups of Patrick Queen jogging at like half speed. Minka Fitzpatrick, did he get up out of the dirt yet? Is that why he didn't want to talk to the media?
Their
was he
whole,
still peeling grass off of himself?
Their whole credo as a football team is we stop the run and we run the ball. They live by that.
You're gonna have to pay with a pound of flesh if you're gonna move the ball on us via the ground.
They gave up 300 and they rushed for 29.
Yep.
That so you
how many runs did Derrick Henry have that were longer than their total for the game? At least, what, two?
How many times did Derrick Henry look like he was going against one of Donnie's, like, 8- and 9-year-old teams from when he was playing Pop Warner ball?
It's like when you see an oversized kid who's allowed to be a running back in peewee football, and the touchdown, he's just running away while literally six Steelers are lined up like the world's most incompetent track team trying to catch him.
So Tomlin was exposed as this coach who likes this underdog role and likes when he can sell his team on it's us against the world and no one's giving us a shot and we know the Ravens and we have the kryptonite on the Ravens and we know how to play this team precisely right. So that goes out the window. And then the other thing is more macro, what you point out about the run part of this game and how they lost. Their organizational plan or philosophy isn't working. They built a team to win with defense. They've given up at least 28 points in every one of these playoff losses. And there's no excuse this time. There isn't a, man, what a tragedy. Ryan Shazier got injured late in the season, and it completely screwed up what we were doing defensively. And we got caught, you know, naked at the position in a playoff game because we couldn't find a guy who was that good in December to bail us out. It wasn't last year TJ Watt gets hurt in week 18 and you go into a playoff game without your best defensive player. You had everybody available to you. The $130 million defense. That's what this coach wants to do. He wants to win with defense and the offense just complements what they do defensively.
And they got clowned.
And they get boat raced in these playoff games.
I mean, we've said it on this show. This isn't anything new. We've talked about how this isn't the way to build a team anymore. It is a quarterback-driven league, first, second, and third, and everything springs from that. Like, you try to make a good defense, I think, by getting a really visionary mind in there and trying to make good draft picks, draft young, talented guys, and deploy them. Philadelphia is a great example of this. How many, like, either new guys to the Eagles this year or just straight-up rookies are on that defense? Mitchell, DeGene. Zach Bond is a first-team All-Pro, the first year he's ever played a position because they have Vic Fangio. You build on offense with big money and big-time talent. What are they doing? I mean, this just does not work, Pony. And by the way, to the extent that we all agree that Mike, it's his defense, and he and Terrell Austin might collaborate, but on game day, he's the one getting what he wants, he's not scheming either. They're at a huge scheme disadvantage. Not that the Ravens needed a big advantage in this game. They were just physically better. But, like, where's the exotic defense that, like, does anything to challenge Jackson? How many times did they tackle the running back early in that game only to have Jackson just emerge from
It looked like their wrinkle was, in this game, instead of T.J. Watt going after Jackson on every play, he was going to go after the running back. That was the curveball that they threw.
And Jackson's pulling the ball like Bugs Bunny, just like an episode of Looney Tunes, like, walking the other way with it, man. They had no wrinkles. And guys just looked like they didn't even want to be out there pretty early on.
Dante Jackson, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Patrick Queen, I could go
Cam
on and on
is
with
Cam
that.
Sutton they, out of the dirt yet?
No, they did not. Their whole, they tried to sell us on the idea that they were going to pull out all the stops, and if they were going to lose this game, it wasn't going to be because they didn't go to whatever extreme methods were necessary to try to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took the ball to start the game. That was their bold move. They didn't defer.
They came out throwing on first down, and Pat Freiermuth drops it.
But then again, they turtled. They had a couple of fourth and short punts. They did a flea flicker. This whole big pregame scoop that was aired on several networks. Look out for Justin Fields. It's going to be a Justin Fields game. He got two plays. George Pickens, who's a nincompoop for the most part, but is still your most talented offensive player, didn't get targeted until there were 4 minutes left in the first half. That's there. We're going to die.
That's burning the boats.
Yeah, that's burning the boats, and we're going to kind of die on our shields.
In macro level, they're not going to burn the boats either, which would be a full clean out and saying, we're not doing this. This
exactly.
is the wrong way that we're going about this from the head coach on down. They're not going to burn the boats either. Like, there's a part of me that came in today, and you said it well. It's like a public service kind of thing almost. Like, we know people in this fun job we get to do. This is a day where people want to have their voices heard. There's part of me that comes in. I don't know if either of you guys experienced this, just feeling like, yeah, like, I'm mad that they lost. But they lost in a way all three of us thought they would, maybe slightly more embarrassing with how easily it came for the Ravens. If I were surprised, it might be another thing. I'd be in here foaming at the mouth, Pony, like, hold on, I got something else to say. How many times do you have to watch the movie before you just say, well, yeah, it was the same movie I watch all the time. Why would I have expected
anything
different?
Yeah, and that's why I'm not going to predict anything different until Tomlin's gone and he's not going anywhere.
I'm not going to predict anything different until the owner shows any kind of, and Tomlin being gone would be an example of this, the example, shows any real urgency to get anything changed and done.